Blog Talk Radio.
Scott, that'd be you.
Hello, everybody. Well, normally you say, welcome to the UAW Factory Whistle Show. It's Sunday, August 22nd, 2021. There you go. Does that help? A little bit, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Took the sting right out of it. Let me get Adrian on. Adrian, you're on.
Good evening. How's everyone?
Groovy.
Tired. Tired.
Tired,
but,
huh?
Yeah. It's not looking good for anybody working on the around the auto manufacturing business right now. I guess the chips, it's getting worse. So, you know. We go down, we take six or seven of the people who are tied directly to the auto manufacturing sector with us. So, it ain't pretty, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sad.
It is.
You know, they didn't get that, no one has heard anything about them working on the, Texas facility that did, you know, that was doing chips?
Nope. All I know is that was going to take about 2 years, I think, to get that up and running. Somebody said they could have had it up and going in a year. Oh, it's hard to tell.
Sounds like they don't want to spend the money.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I think it is, too. That's what I really think it is. No, anyway.
Well, the way I look at it is that people are not trustworthy. The companies are not. They're really wanting to do these electric vehicles.
Right.
And we don't know if that's tied into that.
No.
Somehow. You know. Our infrastructure is not ready for electric vehicles.
No, it's not. You know, you want to do that? I'm sorry. You want to talk about green? You want to talk about helping the environment? Blah 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 blah. Bring back your nuclear reactors. Sorry, I mean that's just all there is to it. You know, I had a cousin that worked at the Palisades nuclear plant in South Haven. And she said, with the technology we have right now, not from 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, now, so they can run these so much more efficiently than what we could and put out so much more energy, I mean, with, you know, a handful of pellets compared to, you know, hundreds of barrels of oil and hundreds and thousands of gallons of natural gas and stuff to make steam, you know, or whatever they do. So, that's the only way you're going to be able to really keep up, I think. And that's, I'm not an energy expert, so I couldn't tell you. I just know there's a lot of people putting up solar farms out here in the country. And those farm fields are gone forever. Okay? No food. You know, no farms, no food. Sorry, folks. That's just how it goes. So, well.
I had a question from Elkton, Tennessee. And he's a retiree, General Motors retiree. He was told that if he didn't take the COVID shot, and he caught COVID, the insurance will not cover him. I said, I had never heard of anything that crazy. No, I said, I'm telling you right now, that didn't happen. That's what he wanted to know. If we've heard
that.
Yeah,
I've seen people making comments to that. Not that there's no real validity to that.
No, I didn't think
right.
so either.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. I am concerned that they're talking about giving Pfizer FDA approval.
Yep.
But not Moderna.
No, Pfizer.
Yeah.
Yes, Pfizer. So I'm a little concerned about that. I'm also concerned that these children under 12 still
absolutely.
Do not have a vaccine available to them.
It's crazy.
So,
Missy, I think
yeah,
you're
it
on.
Is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Children.
Well, I don't think
yeah,
you have to worry about that. Sleepy Eye Joe's going to make it mandatory for everybody.
Can't.
Yeah, well,
he sure is going to try. Tell him he can't because he don't think he's going to get away with it. Look what he's doing in Kabul. Should have
yeah.
sent the Rangers in to pull
what?
Those people
I
out.
I try to keep the politics of this out of my purview because there's a lot of this and that going on between people and. I just don't know. I just try to keep away from the politics of it.
Well, you don't have to worry about the politics staying out of it. He's bringing it straight to your front porch.
No,
he's going to serve it to you on a plate, unfortunately. All of us.
Let me get Carrie on. Carrie, you're spinning. Damn, that thing's slow. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you dizzy? Dad says you were spinning.
Not yet. By about 4 o'clock at the end of this shift, I'll be spinning like a weeble wobble.
Yeah. Be nice
and warm. Half nut. Yep. Half nuts, too.
Oh, man.
I did hear that you all are not slated for any TLOs.
Nope, haven't heard anything. I think they shut down the Kansas City.
Yeah, that's
was
the one
Kansas
that
City
I heard that they
down?
Were going. Yeah, I heard that they were going to do a TLO on them. I don't remember I don't recall how long they said that they would be off.
I don't remember either. But we'll be the last. You know how that works, Adrian. We'll be the last one shut down. This is their showpiece here.
Yeah.
Gotta keep those tours going.
Yeah. Are they still doing the tours?
Yep. Last time I heard, they were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Never did one of those. I'm sorry.
Fort Wayne's down this week also, right?
I don't know.
Melissa, is Fort Wayne down this week again?
I'm here, sorry.
Is Fort Wayne out again this week?
Nope.
You're back to work?
No, we're only off 2 weeks. Last week of July and second week in August.
I thought you guys were extended to this next week.
You must be smoking better stuff than I am.
Wow. Okay.
You've been
I
in that hoop house too long.
Yeah, fried the brain. I think that I know Lansing Delta's been put out. Spring Hill's been put out another week. I don't think Kansas City is... I don't know if it's Kansas City or Wentzville. One of them. Who makes the Colorado Canyons? Wentzville. Wentzville's back.
Wentzville.
I think Kansas City. I think Kansas City's out for another week. So I just made a post on GM. I can't remember who it was. It was like some kind of a corporate document, whatever. It told all the plants it was out for an extended week, and I could have swore I saw your plan on there. I'm going to find
Jimmy,
that. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, buddy. I'm
Jimmy?
Just sitting back and keep going. Yeah, I'm interested in what's open and what's not open. And it's there's a lot of stupid shit going on, you know. Hell, I guess if you're in the right plan, you get a vacation to Florida, from what Brian showed me.
Yeah, Toyota is shutting some of their people are getting TLO, temporary layoff.
Yeah, they're getting hit with the chip shortage themselves.
A lot of people didn't understand that Honda, almost all the transplants except for like BMW and Mercedes, because they're German, the Japanese transplants, all were getting a somewhat steady supply, I should say a limited steady supply of chips, while the American manufacturers were scrambling. And now it's finally hit them.
So they know the right asshole, so they got a more chip. I understand.
What's that?
I know right asshole, so I get more chip. I understand, game.
Gotcha. and some manufacturers are actually paying more for chips right now. So if you're a chip manufacturer, you kind of put them over a barrel if you want to.
Didn't they play that game with Elon Musk? Seemed like they were playing that game with Elon and Tesla because they were trying to get back at the American automaker. They were letting him have a better supply of chips, but he had to pay more for them, if I remember the article.
Well, now we're back.
I'm back.
What happened?
Something just went bonkers, but we're back on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking, didn't Elon Musk have that problem, Scott? It seemed like they were letting him get more chips than the American manufacturers, but they were also, you know, holding him ransom for a thicker, price tag, too, for a while anyway.
Right. Yes. Yes, there was. I don't know what's going on. I mean, as far as these chips go, I apologize. I thought I posted that. Evidently, I didn't. But it had talked about plants that had extended time off. And
you got it on the Toyota post on your page. I know that.
Yeah, but I don't know where I had with the extended time off. I really thought I had posted that, but
you did have it there right now. Now it's saying information's unavailable. Maybe they changed something, but yeah, I clicked on that link underneath that post earlier in the week, and it's not available. You did have it there. I think they got another week, Scott, if I remember.
Welcome, Paul.
Right.
Greetings, your rabble rousers.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging tough. I got a question for you. Howdy. Is General Motors building any actual cars right now, sedans or subcompacts in the U.S.?
Malibu, I think, and I don't think that they're building, or the Cadillac, I don't think they're building either one right now because they're on a pause.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
The Malibu's scheduled to get axed anyway, is it not, Scott?
What's
or
that?
Moved to Mexico? Wasn't the Malibu getting moved to Mexico? Excuse me.
Let's see, that or Canada. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
The Malibu is getting discontinued.
Well,
the Malibu's going to be discontinued?
Yep.
That means the only American cars we're going to make then, as far as cars go, would be a Buick and a Cadillac then, right?
Sounds that way.
Wow.
Does General Motors own a large amount of stock in Honda, Toyota, and Nissan?
2022 is the last year for the Malibu.
I don't know about if how much stock they own anymore.
They own, don't they own stock in a Kia? I think they had a lot to do with the Kia in the beginning.
Kia?
I know.
And
they had an agreement with Isuzu way back then, but I think that broke off and went toward the German work style.
Right. Hmm. Don't know. Yeah.
But no, they've
been
pretty quick that they do not want to produce any cars. And I'm ashamed to say, but General Motors and Chevrolet was always a family considered vehicle. I thought that was a car, but I guess as I'm getting older and getting to my golden years, I must have bumped my head or read the wrong book. I'm sorry. But, yeah, we don't make a car. Well, we don't make a car big enough for an American to fit in. That's the biggest problem.
Well, because some of us tend to be too big.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why everybody likes these trucks, these big SUVs. They're comfortable to get into. They got some horsepower.
And they're safe.
They can pull stuff.
But you need a big wallet to pay for them. A lot of Americans don't have that, and General Motors is just turning over the car market to their competitors.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. It's like the medium duty.
They're giving up all kinds of market share, and yet they want the poor guy on the line to get horsewhipped just a little bit harder.
Yep.
Make up for it.
Well, this beauty queen on top of General Motors chair said the day she came into power that she didn't give a shit about market share. She
Neither did Roger Smith.
She's going after the high profit vehicle, which is your pickup.
Yeah.
And
which is, doesn't seem to realize that her competitors will be doing the same thing. Only they'll control the car market, so they can charge a high price for cars, so that they can lowball the price on trucks.
Seems like they could make a small car, a little sedan, and they only pay you $16 an hour. Seems like they could make enough of those to make a profit now.
I think their big job, their biggest goal is just to exterminate the U.S. auto worker.
Tell any of your friends, got any friends traveling and going to an island, say one of the seven Hawaiian islands, I think there's seven, ask them what they see over there. All flipping Toyotas. They give them cars away on them islands over there. Damn near give them away. But when there's a movie over there, you got to rent a car. What do you got to get? You got to get a Toyota.
Yeah, but
so
Japan owns most of Hawaii.
Wow.
I couldn't believe that, Don. When I went to Kauai, I could rent a Mustang for $400 a day, or you had a whole fleet. You named the Toyota you want, or a Jeep. They did have a Jeep. What the hell did they call that? Liberty or something? And that was like $170 a day, and I'm talking 2010 prices. And then you had a fleet of Toyotas. Anything that Toyota made was there.
Yeah. Well, they own Hawaii. They own most of it, so I'm not surprised.
Them and the Russians, because the Russians were buying it up like crazy when I was there.
Yeah. They get what's left then, I guess.
But anyway, we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, Scott, you see this shit, how they're meeting down there in Florida. Now, is that every president and every chairman is getting a free ride down there for these so-called brainwashing sessions? Because I don't know what else to call it.
Right. I do believe they are. And I was going to talk about that. I think Brian had posted that on Workers. He got a letter and posted it up there about the meeting and the hotels and stuff.
That's correct.
I know that Corey has come out. You know, he's retired. He's come out and he has publicly stated that a one member, one vote is not good for the membership.
Yeah.
So he's saying we need to keep a system that produces criminals.
Correct.
That's right.
The good old boys system. Yeah, they're having a, it's an official call. They're going to be at the Hotel Council, the Tradeswind Island Grand Resort, 5500 Gulf Boulevard, St. Pete Beach, Florida. And then the overflowed hotel will be Rumfish, oh, that fits some good name, Rumfish Beach Resort, 6000 Gulf Boulevard, St. Pete Beach, Florida. They both have 800 numbers. Presidents, committee persons, plant shop chairmen, and salary unit chairpersons of the UAW Stallions local unions. General council meeting. And this was August 19th, so this is old shit.
Wow. Wine and dine.
Well, one of the big...
Not old. It's not old. It says, excuse me, October 12th through October 14th. The purpose of the meeting is to conduct business for the UAW Council from the prior opening of the Grand Council. A president's meeting will be held on Tuesday the 12th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., Monday the 11th, and then Friday will be a day to travel home. There will be elections to fill current sub-council vacancies. Oh, so if you're a good old boy and you say you support them, shit, you're going to get another appointment, maybe another pension plan from my wallet. Thank you. You're welcome. You can have it now, Scott.
Wow. Wow. Oh, before I forget. There are other vehicles being made in the United States. Electric vehicles, Paul.
Okay.
The ones that catch on fire, but, yeah, there's ones that are being made here in the United States.
And where are those being built?
Orion's one place.
Okay.
Lake Orion is one place.
Detroit Town.
Another place. Yep, DM.
Lansing was, but I don't think they have no more.
No, I think they switched over the Grand River plant was for Camaros and Cadillacs.
Right, and then they even lost Camaro.
Camaros and Cadillacs. That's why they make sure to go down the line.
Camaro
yeah.
went to Canada last I knew, because I knew they lost the Camaro in Lansing. Was it about a year and a half ago? That was when we lost the inner at Metal Fab here to the old Metal Fab down in Pontiac that was supposed to be closed down, but now they got their own standalone agreement so they can bid against us at a lower wage and take our own work out of our own union shops. Yeah, that's what happened. That was unbelievable. We lost the outer to Canada and the inner to Pontiac Stamping, which was supposedly out of business. And, both jobs went to those places, and now we're Christ, Paul, from what I'm hearing from that chick down there that I tell you about, we're less than 175 now for three shifts. So that's all three shifts.
Oh.
Wow. Wow.
Well, all those,
need to make it.
All those sessions we gave did something, eh? Gave us a weaker, corrupt, or smaller union.
Yep.
3,700
like
people there when I hired in.
Now it's 175. Wow.
Yep. I'm still trying to figure out how to get a hold of Richard Dowd from AAM to get my pension from them. You know, they owe me a couple of years retirement there from them, but they want to go on a stock rate, but seeing how I wasn't there for five years, they got to go by the hours I worked, and they don't want to do that because they worked the shit out of us. She goes, my God, you had to be over a year and three quarters. She goes, you got enough hours for 4 years, so that really freaked her out. She goes, we had to pay you $190 a month. I'm like, pay me, and I ain't heard no more.
Yeah,
there
that's
you
really going to kill them.
tonight's show will be over at 8 o'clock, by the way.
Cool. What do you got going on?
Heads up. I got all sorts of stuff going on here, but that's besides the point.
No, I meant to talk about on the show.
Oh,
everybody's all upset about the COVID shot, but I don't know how to address that because, I mean, I'm seeing so much shit where, yes, they can make you get it, then they can't make you get it. I don't know how the hell that's going to play out.
In Michigan, they are putting a bill forward to make it so that none of the employees that work within the boundaries of the United States of Michigan will not have to be will not be mandatory for them to take a vaccination, and they're working on taking the mask off for the unvaccinated people too. That's in that bill also. So I don't know how that's going to play out with us in Michigan, but that's what's on right now. I don't want to be. You can't even talk about this, unfortunately. I agree with Adrian, but without even being political on this whole thing, because there's so many viewpoints and so many people have different beliefs on this vaccination. So it's.
You can leave the politics out of it. You really can.
Right.
I mean, either you're going to take it or not. It's either going to be mandated or not. Yeah, and there's no forget the politics of it.
Hey, okay, right. I think it's up to everybody's individual choice whether you want to take this or not. And I guess that's just, I'm going to have to leave that. But, Jimmy, that meeting has not been over yet. That meeting is going to take place October 12th through
October
14th.
October 12th, October 14th. Right.
He said that. Okay. And I don't know. It's up to the individuals they want the shot. I got the shot because I had the, what did I get? The Maduro, the two-shot thing. Because my wife works with the assisted living place, and we didn't want to take a chance. And she got it, and I got it. And I wouldn't have got it if I had my brothers, but I don't want to take a chance in getting somebody sick either. Just in case. They can't blame me, But I wouldn't
know that's right.
I would not have taken it if it wasn't for that. But that's an individual choice, and I would hate to see the government, like in New York and in L.A., you can't go in a restaurant without having a badge to get in, or a movie, or anything like that.
A concert.
What they're doing is closing these damn businesses up, and they're not coming back. They're just not going to come back. And they just got open. Now they're shutting it down again.
Holy
shit. Lost.
Did you see that? They posted how much money you make a year. You greedy bastard. You make $117,566. That's for every GM employee. You think that's gross? Well, let me tell you about that. Talk about sitting on top. She earned $40.3 million in 2020. Now, you tell me where there's equality when some bitch up there that don't even get hot and sweaty makes that kind of money. But, Scott, they're saying every median GM employee makes $117,000. They must be considering all your benefits and everything.
Yes, they do when they come up with that figure.
$107,566.
Well, they throw in everything, Jim. They throw in the cost of workers' comp insurance.
Look at the other way. Look at what that queen up there is making, and they didn't leave nothing on the table, eh? Poor shit, people.
Yep.
How many hours of overtime does an average GM worker work?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, we've got to, we're overworked and we don't remember.
You said that was $117,000?
It's what it says, $117,000 and 560, or $117,566. Posted on your page, GM Authority.
Yeah, I'm going to look at that again. What, $1,800? $1,800 instead of a full year's work?
Right.
Okay. So make sure I got that right.
Let me get a 219 on. Hang on a second. 219,
okay.
You're on.
So,
hold on, Scotty. 219, you're on.
Hey, guys. Hey, this is Scott Holdison.
Hey,
you know,
Scotty.
I'm wondering, you know, with the average GM employee, I mean, there's so – how do you figure an average with the temps and all the progression for 8 years, 2 or 3 years as a temporary employee? How do you figure an average out of all those disparate wage scales? I don't know if it included all of them.
And they bump them back.
Yeah
they probably didn't include temps in that average, and of course they include, you know, every cent of benefit that you get, whether it's your health insurance, your life insurance, your disability insurance,
mm-hmm.
all those insurances.
Mm-hmm.
I got the article up. I'm going to look at it real quick, but I'm going to call horseshit because I just divided $17,000, and at $65 an hour, even with our benefits, we're at $55. And that's just for the full, like Scott says, that's just for the full-time employee. That doesn't include the huge amount of temporary workers that we have who don't get any benefits or very limited benefits.
The progression.
Right. Depending on where you're on the slide rule for pay, I don't get it. You know, I'm not buying into that one.
And so you say $65 an hour?
That's what it'd come down to. If you take 65 times 1,800, would be $117,000.
But that's a $5 drop. Because it used to be $70 an hour.
After the 2015 agreement, we were at $55 or $56 an hour. That's what they were trying to help the corporations out with. That's what our union did.
That $70 an hour, that was from back in when they were begging for help from the government.
And the $70 an hour, had a lot of discussion with Dick Danjen on this. The $70 and some were even higher than that was on the old calculation before the VEBA. You read rolling the cost of the retirees onto the active workers' costs, and that's why those numbers are so high, because they were covering the medical, the pensions, and the medical. And so they added that on to the hourly worker's salary, total and cost an hour. And that's how that was done. And the news never, ever reported that. They used to piss Dick off to no end, that nobody would ever explain that the workers weren't making $70 an hour.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's disturbing is the union never disputes it.
Never.
Right.
No, they don't. That's why this show started, because they were lying so much on CNN and all these business, Fox wasn't around, but CNBC and Eric, they were saying one lady said we were making $198 an hour with benefits, retirement, and all that. And that's crap. Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy, you need to look at that article again.
Salary?
salary employee is 117. Salary.
Like,
yeah, not the, a normal worker.
I
know. I mean,
that when you were talking on it, I'm sorry, folks, but still, what I'm trying to is one person worth $40 million for 1 year, yet your employees aren't worth a little bit of a raise or make us all equal. Stop the division, man. That's all I'm trying to get. This woman's making money by the freaking train cars. I mean, she makes more money in a year than all the employees do put together. I'd be willing, probably close to say that.
Well, it kind of depends on the way you look at it, Jim. You know, what it boils down to is she's earned it because what she's done, she's gone to the bargaining table and convinced our union to give away stuff that costs a lot of money. And that's from the basis on which she's getting paid. She's getting paid basically to screw the worker on a plant floor.
Right. She opened up her checkbook. She paid the boys. They took the golden cookie. In the end, the money come across from her people, no doubt about it. But I guess that's the way, Don. I just don't understand it. Back in my day, you know, we'd grab a shovel and hit them upside the head and get another committee man. Maybe we need to go back to that way.
General Motors has proven themselves to be incompetent in the marketplace. The company used to have 50% of market share. What do they have now? You know, they're not building cars, and the reason they're not building cars is their competitors have kicked the crap out of them. You know, Japanese companies came in here, and Korean companies, you know, led by people that, you know, don't speak our language, and they took the car market right away from the big three.
Yep.
And so they don't know how to compete in the marketplace, so their only game plan is to find ways to screw the worker over and to get the union to cough up concessions.
Question, do you not think that the joint ventures they go into with their competitors, the foreign market, doesn't help the company?
Well, it helps them a lot. But a lot of the money they've gotten to invest in robotics and in investing in joint ventures with competitors is because we've coughed up the money.
Right, right.
I mean, we got in this whole mess because the idea was we're all in it together, and if we help the company, it'll preserve plants and jobs. And that's not the way it's worked.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
I was just going to say, while the company's been making war on the workforce, they've been making love to our union leaders.
Yeah, since that all started, we've lost 1 million people, 1 million members.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, a good share of them we just gave away.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure that part out, Scott. Listen to me and my logic of thinking, people. We lost 1 million UAW manufactured auto vehicles. But then they picked up all these other people scattered all over the country that have not a damn thing to do with aerospace, agriculture, or auto. But is this where they're going to get the replacement? I mean, think about it.
Even after picking those up, we've lost over 1 million members. That's including picking up casino workers and higher ed and, you know, TOPS, you know, the
state employees, nurses.
State workers.
Yeah.
That's all included in the equation. And we've lost over 1 million members, including adding those. So we've really lost.
I mean, I don't know what to say. Now I see they're whining and dining them down in Florida. So I guess the one member, one vote, to me, the way they're treating us, it ain't going to fly because we're not going to get a one member, one vote to vote on it.
Well, that's okay. Really the biggest chance that we have. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to change the way that we conduct business and you know, hold our leadership accountable.
And this is the one chance that we have to get out of a one-party system.
Who's
exactly.
counting the votes? The one party or Fed's counting them? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, Joseph Stalin put it very well when he said it doesn't matter how the votes are cast. What matters is how they're counted.
That's right.
It does. It does. And that's why the Office of Labor Management Standards of the Department of Labor is going to be overseeing the election or the referendum vote along with the monitor. But I'm concerned about the vendor. They haven't told us who the vendor is.
Yeah, I'm concerned with the monitor. The monitor has already made a statement. It was in, I think, the Detroit News, one of those papers, where there's only 367 ballots that's going to be sent out.
You're here.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Now, I got that article. I saved it somewhere, but, you know. But the monitor, his name is Eric whatever it is.
No.
He made a statement.
The monitor's name is Neil Barat. And I don't know what, you know, you're referring to, but, you know, he knows there's over a million members, including retirees. We have about 400,000 active members and about 600,000 retirees.
I'm saying there was an article that just came out like last week or the week before, and he made a statement that said 367 ballots to vote on one member, one vote.
Okay, well, I'd have to see that article.
And I didn't understand.
You know, I've been in meetings with this monitor, and he's expressed that, you know, they're working on the mailing list to make sure that everybody's going to be updated with their mailing address, which is very important. Make sure you update your mailing address with the company and the union. Because in the big three, the union gets their addresses from the company. So, you know, if you go into labor relations and make sure your address is up to date, that's going to be very important in getting your ballot.
Retirees usually can't go onto the facilities. So you would have to go to the local.
Yeah. Yeah, and retirees would have to go to the local to update their address because they don't get a dues report from the company for retirees.
What about if your local already sends you stuff like they have mine? Because I get all my monthly payments from my local, but I ain't got shit about this election. I asked them, and they claim they have my address, but here it is, 22nd box, obviously nothing. Have you called?
I haven't gotten anything, but I do keep getting the union newspaper.
Yes, I do keep getting that.
How many delegates are there all together?
It varies.
You know. Well, I mean,
yeah,
just a roundabout number. Just some roundabout number.
At the last convention, I believe there were somewhere around 1,500 delegates.
Yeah, that sounds about
okay.
right.
Okay. Because I went to a union meeting and I talked to a guy from regional because somebody brought up the one member, one vote in the meeting, and there was three international reps in there and two from the regional, and everybody kind of was acting like they didn't know nothing about it. Oh, we don't know what's going on. We don't know nothing about it. So at the end of the meeting, I walked up to someone out of the regional, and he was like, we don't even know how that's going to work, if it's just going to be the delegates or voting. And I said, why would it just be the delegates voting?
Yeah, they already know how they're going to vote. If you've been to a convention, you know how delegates vote.
Well, that's why I asked how many delegates there were, because I wanted to see where exactly what number the article that Adrian was talking about.
Well, that sounds about like there's about that many chairmen and presidents in the UAW.
Well, the only thing I mean, this is somebody who's in regional 600, one of the largest regionals, you know, here. And he basically said, well, we don't know how that's going to work. We don't know how the election process is going to go. And I said,
well,
so you're going
to
tell me
the
news?
Well, that's because they don't
want you to know. Right. I said, so you're going to tell me that the newspapers know more about this than you guys?
Yep. They're trying to hide it from you. But let me give you the Monitor's website. It's UAW Monitor, MONITOR.com. And you can go on there. You can see the consent decree. You can see the rules that have been put in place. And you can contact the monitor. He gives you his phone number and email address. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to him. He will get back to you. Him or somebody on his team will get back to you.
Now, that letter that the Solidarity House put out only gave you a week to get your a week or less to get your information
16
sorted
days.
Out? 16 days.
Yeah, the letter was dated July 12th.
It's ongoing. It's ongoing. So they're going to be mailing out postcards on August 27th. If you look at the Monitor's website and go through the timeline that they put on there, they're going to be mailing out postcards on August 27th, and from those postcards, they're going to use that to find the bad addresses. So postcards that come back, they're going to say, hey, this person's postcard came back. Contact their local and see if they can get this address updated before the ballots go out. And the ballots are going out October 17th.
Wow, they're squeezing for time here. Don't you think?
They are, and that's a concern. But, you know, we can do our part by updating our addresses ahead of time.
That is
a squeeze on time. It's a month and a half to mail these postcards out, get them back, and then try and reach out to the local to get them corrected. But we can stay on top of that ourselves and help our coworkers by saying, hey, make sure your address is up to date with the company and the union. Same thing with retirees.
Yeah.
If you know retirees that, you know, haven't been getting their local union newspaper, say, hey, that's because your address isn't correct with the local. Go in there and tell them to update your address.
Right.
See, I think a lot of active workers think that this address thing that I posted with the Solidarity House has something to do with your labor relations department, but it doesn't. It doesn't have anything to do. You need to contact your local and make sure all your information is correct with that. They're not going off labor relations lists of addresses and all that. So people need to make sure.
The local gets their address from the dues report. You know, I was a financial secretary. I know that's how we got our addresses. And if you update an address and then you put the dues report in, and it's not updated in the dues report that you get from the company, then it's going to revert back to the old address. So at least at Ford, I can tell you for certain that you have to update your address with the company. That way it will automatically update with the local. Retirees have a different process. They have to call the local. And thanks for pointing it out, Adrian.
Oh, no problem. But that letter that went out on the 12th, and it was to all UAW members. It did not go out to the retirees.
I didn't get one in my mailbox.
I didn't get one either.
Yeah,
so
I didn't get
one.
The
one that I got,
and they didn't
came
even
from off
email
the floor.
It. Yeah,
and
they
so,
didn't even email it to the local.
That
they
is a bunch of shenanigans.
They're trying to slow roll this and trying to make sure that not as many people can vote. It's a voter
That's
suppression.
Correct.
It's a voter suppression tactic that the
yes.
International Union is using.
Yes.
Doesn't that tell you just what they're about, though? That is
oh,
ridiculous.
Oh, sure does.
Is this not supposed to be off a democratic process, yada, yada? But they don't even want you voting for no- – oh, okay, I could go so many ways with this. I'm just going to behave. I can go so many ways. I was about ready to break the Oscar bomb out. Behave.
Relax.
Well,
that's what hilarious. Melissa telling somebody to behave. I'm making a note of that. Where's my smelly mark?
We are going to 8:30. We are going to 8:30. This is really kind of steamrolled on, so we've added a half an hour back on. Just to let you guys know.
Yeah,
but
you...
Scott, doesn't your group, don't they, obviously you know this, so all they know all this, so isn't this just, it's disgusting behavior is what it really is.
It's what behavior? I missed that.
It's disgusting behavior.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the International Union, the Administration Caucus, because that's who runs the International Union, they're trying to protect their appointed position, because all of them are appointed under the delegate system. And,
right.
They're trying to protect the system that has put them in place and given them great benefits over the last 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's up to us members to fight back against that. And they're wanting to use this, November 12th right now is a tentative date for the end of the referendum. All the ballots have to be back by November 12th. And the reason it's tentative is because the UAW wants to open up the consent decree to allow them to use our dues money to campaign against one member, one vote.
Correct.
That's how critical it is. For us to fight back and get the word out.
And can you repeat that again, please?
Sure. The UAW is trying to open up the consent decree, reopen it, go back into court, and change it to allow them to use our dues money to campaign against one member, one vote. If they do that, they also want to be able to extend the deadline for getting the ballots in. And the Office of Labor Management Standards and the UAW are in impasse over this particular item in their agreement with the rules that the monitor put out. So they're trying to go back into court, ask the judge to allow them to please let us use the hundreds of millions of dollars at our disposal to overwhelm our membership with arguments against one member, one vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's another party here. Management likes this system, too.
Oh, of course. They reap huge benefits from it.
And
they had over a million members.
They will do their best to make sure that those who are for one member, one vote don't have a lot of freedom to campaign for it in the workplace.
We've seen that already at GM sites where, I was passing out pamphlets, one member, one vote flyers at the Lansing Delta Township plant,
mm-hmm.
and security came out and told us we had to go. So we stuck around a little while longer. They said, you better go. We're calling the police. Stuck around a little bit longer. They said, the police are on their way. So finally we left, but
you know, that's what they're doing. And they did it to me at a Ford stamping plant here in Chicago Heights.
Sure.
I was passing out flyers, and one of the security came up and said, who are you? What are you doing? I said, I'm passing out flyers. He said, well, you're going to have to leave. And I just continued passing out flyers and giving my spiel. So I said, I'm a UAW member. I said, I have every right to talk to my coworkers, my brothers and sisters that are UAW members. I'm a UAW member. I have every right to do this. And they said, no, you can't do it here on Ford property. So, you know, and they took down my license plate number and said, if you come back, we're going to call the cops right away. So, what they don't know is I have another car.
Well, where, you know, the thing is, where can we safely do that? And, you know, you got to bear in mind that last year I was involved in a local election where the rules were no campaigning on company or union property. I've appealed it through the channels, but I haven't got any answer from the Public Review Board yet. But, you know,
Follow that all the way to the end, and also, you know, send the Public Review Board an update and say, hey, how does this apply to our referendum vote? You know, this could have huge implications for rooting out corruption in the UAW, which is the, you know, the Public Review Board's responsibility. You know,
well,
that's what they were created for.
Yeah. Well, that's something I put in my case, that, you know, that this is coming up. We have 15 jailbirds, and, you know, they're trying to clamp down on communication, you know, when we got some really important issues here, you know, that are, you know, on the front burner. But, you know, the thing is, things are going on now that wouldn't have happened 20 years ago. You know, like, you know, when I retired, they decided retirees couldn't have access to the plant anymore. You know, it always been the policy in Flint, Michigan, that if you're retired and you're running for a union office, you had access to the plant. And they cut that off, and the union went along with it.
The union probably encouraged it. They're probably the ones that told the company to do that.
I wouldn't doubt it, because, you know, what it boils down to is it's reached the point where, you know, our leaders can't win on the issues because all the issues are going against them. So what they need to do is just make it impossible for you to communicate with your membership.
Right, right. You know, as we talk about, there's some similarity to something we should probably touch on real quick, is the union was ousted in the General Motors Silao plant in Mexico.
Oh, it was.
They voted. They said that they've been dealing with collective bargaining negotiation by old guard union that was accused of intimidation tactics in earlier votes. And it was an early display of the effectiveness of labor mechanisms negotiated under the U.S. Mexico the NAFTA, the Canada Free Trade Agreement. And when it said they come down, they voted for 2 days, and it was overseen by the Mexico Labor Ministry. The total come out was 3,214 no to 2,623 yes. The vote means that the contract is terminated, but the workers maintain the same benefits and labor conditions. The vote was a rejection of the union, part of the Confederation of Mexico Workers. A new group has been working to organize the plant's workers. So, I mean...
Yeah, I applaud that. They've been fighting... the company union there for decades, just like we have been.
Yep, yep. And we're about on par with them now.
Yeah, and we have Well, you know, now they have an opportunity to fight for better working conditions, better wages, which is going to mean that there's a level playing field on both sides of the border eventually. We're far from that right now. But, you know, we're in a similar situation here where we have to, as members of this union, root out the corruption on our own. Otherwise, you know, we're going to continue to decline. And, you know, we can't take another, you know, 5 years, 10 years of this administration running our union because it's run it right to the ground.
Yes. I mean, we don't take care of our retirees. And anybody who's actively looking forward to going on retirement between now and the end of the next contract, you're getting the same thing you got three contracts ago. Same thing you're getting 12 years ago. There's been no increase at all in your pension.
They dip into the pension fund to finance buyouts and early retirements.
Yes, they do. You know, how convenient is that? Because they say they're not adding no new Social Security numbers to the pension program. That way we don't have to put any more money into the pension plan. But in the meantime, any buyouts are coming out of the pension plan, that's taking money away from the pensions.
Yeah.
It's something. And nobody, and like Scott says and Adrian says, you guys all said it, it doesn't seem to make a difference to what's going on. Everybody in this general workforce seems to be shit. That seems like 90% of the people. This is your guys' money. This is an opportunity. This is one member, one vote. This is a good opportunity to change the direction of our union, to take it back to where it was and the union that Walter Reuther thought it would be. That it could
be. And make your life better. And make your union better when you leave. The biggest thing in the world is to make it better when you leave than you found it. We need to get back to that, people. And he's right. We got to get this through. We got to work together. That's the only way. We got to quit dividing because they've divided us to where they damn near conquered us.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know. I used to make coffee, so I'd get there early, and there was a skilled trade guy. We'd always drink coffee together, and he said this bull BS about voting for. All these people were voting for people that had won elections, you know, committee men, and we're sending them to Detroit. And he would get so irate and slam the table. He said, they're going to vote for whatever they're told to vote for. And we got to get away from that. We got to vote one man, one vote. That's it. And they've been bitching about that for decades. So now's our chance. Now's our chance.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yep.
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 Big time.
I agree.
It's not the end of the road, though. Even after we pass this, you know, there's still going to be delegates going to a constitutional convention to decide what constitutional amendments are going to pass. So we have to be smarter about electing delegates. That's how we got a dues increase. That's how we got a 31% wage increase. We have to be smarter about electing delegates, and we have to work together to get delegates elected that are going to work for the membership rather than be enticed by the carrot of a staff job.
Now, I got to throw a curveball into this whole thing. Don't think that with this one member, one vote, that we may not possibly end up with some of the same bad apples we have through this vote. Correct?
Very true, Scott. But if that happens, then we can really look in the mirror and say, hey, we deserve everything we're getting now because we didn't go do our thing. I know Scott did. I know you did. I know Adrian, blah, blah, blah. But if that does happen, then it should come back. The yoke's on us as the membership. Come on, people. If you really, truly love what you got, You know, sometimes you got to give a little bit back. You don't always got to be a taker in this workforce. Sometimes give a little bit back.
But a lot of these people don't understand everything we've lost in the last 25 years. They've never had it. They've never had the cost of living or seeing the reduction in the pensions funds or benefits. Things that have happened. I mean, some of these people don't understand.
Pension.
Yeah, or the
or
pay increase.
Your birthday off. How about just have your birthday off every year, people? That's right. I didn't fucking stutter. Every year you got your birthday off.
And your anniversary day.
One time we had that in the 79 agreement.
Yep.
But then we had, that was our first congestion. They didn't want us having our damn birthday off, people. No, we
the
had to,
best
we had to
thing.
Get the concession up or I was getting laid off, so we gave it up. Guess what? I got laid off. So did Dan. Take it back, boys.
The best thing that's for us that we gave up was a 4% annual wage agreement. Every year, no matter what, apart from your bonuses and anything else, it went into your wages. And people need to understand when your wages, if you don't have a pension, you're looking at Social Security and your 401K, you don't want to see bonuses. You want to see wage increase because that's going to up the amount of Social Security you're going to get.
That was your AIF.
Yeah. You know, and that's what I'm saying.
We can't use that no more because she done gave away all the market share, so AIF, annual income fund, would probably go the other way with this dumb one. I don't know how annual income, but I understand
what you're
saying. So many people are so confused.
Based on productivity.
Right.
What's that? Yeah.
So if it's based off productivity, it's the amount of hours that man hours that it takes to build a car, which is way down.
Right. Go back to 1979. Well, real quick, follow me. You were building, let's say you're building 14 million cars in 1980. We're still building 14 million cars, extra build more. But we're doing it with 3/4 of less workers than what we did back then.
Well, the way they measure
the productivity
is a joke.
Right. What's that, Paul?
I said the way they measure productivity is a joke. If you set up and outsourced everything in an assembly plant, but you had one person working there putting on a license plate bracket that was the only employee in the plant. On paper, it would look like a very productive plant, but
yes,
no productivity going on there. And, it, you know, it's just a disgrace that the union buys into management's way of computing things. I mean, this is how they've managed to close one plant after another. They got rid of all their parts plants that way. They would outsource work. Then they'd say, you know, it was a non-productive plant, so they had to close it.
Yeah, we had
circular logic.
We had last Saturday, I want to think. Yeah, it was just last Saturday afternoon. A week ago. We had 18 employees walk out of the new LOC part of General Motors at our plant, and it had a spillover, and it caused problems on second shift, and it caused problems on third shift because people weren't happy with what they're getting paid. They said they come into work on a job, and then they told them, well, we're only going to need you on Saturday, or we're only going to need you 2 days a week. So people walked out. And this last week, they put out another application for more people to come and apply for a full-time position. And that's, I think it's false. I could be wrong. In the meantime, I don't know if Scott's heard this or not, but at our facility, they've cut back
all the full-time temporaries to part-time temporaries, all except for 50 of them.
Yeah.
So those people, their numbers, by the contract, their numbers, they're all going to start all over again.
Yeah.
Yep, and a lot of them are
like,
going somewhere else to get a job. So the
exactly.
companies are screwing themselves. So what,
exactly.
what I found at our plant is that during the layoff weeks, you know how the cleanup has been outsourced.
Right.
The outsourced company won't lay their people off because they won't come back. So they have to keep them working through our layoff, and to be able to maintain their workforce.
Yeah.
Wow.
General Motors is going to have trouble getting workers in the future. I mean, when I was on vacation up in Petoskey, the oil change and car wash place up there was advertising $18 an hour, you know. I mean, when it gets to the point that fast food workers and car wash workers there can make more money than you make at General Motors, they're going to have a problem. They'll have a problem getting good employees. They'll have problems getting applicants that can pass a drug test.
They'll
right.
have problems getting applicants at all. I mean,
right.
if you can go work retail or you can go work at an oil change place for $18 an hour, why the heck would you start at $16 an hour, $16.60 or whatever, as a temporary employee on a 2-year probationary period at General Motors? Busting your butt on the assembly line.
Yeah, being pushed for more productivity. How is it legal that they have to pay union dues but don't get any representation? Has that been challenged?
I don't know that it's been challenged.
I don't believe it has.
Yeah, about the only representation they get is if it's discrimination, because they're on a 2-year-plus probationary period.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah, they don't need a union to get representation on that, on that issue.
You know, I need to add something on that. We talked about the employer and what they're willing to pay and the productivity and stuff. Let's understand, their business partner, and that's exactly what our new president says, our partners. These guys, our union leadership, most who are going to jail or prison or already have been there, are the ones that negotiate these contracts. They did that to us also. They did that to you.
Sure. We didn't lose everything on the picket line. You know, if we went out on a long strike and lost, I would handle that better, but we just rolled over on the bargaining table.
Well, they went back to the original contract that they offered. That's what that was. We proved that. We proved that early on.
Well,
with a timestamp.
The danger signal was it 1984 when they coined the slogan "Partners in Progress"?
Yeah.
I mean, that was coined in the early 80s. I don't remember the exact year, but you know that sums it up. They're basically partners in labor relations. They're helping management get more bang for the buck from the employee. Well, they got
they put you guys out on strike to soften you up to accept a bad contract.
Yeah,
and you know, kudos to the Volvo workers.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were out on strike for 2 weeks, came back and voted down by 91%. And then when they knew they were going to go back out on strike again and were offered the same contract again, they voted it down by 90%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah.
Then when they were softened up for, another 4 or 5 weeks, they came back and voted it down by 60%.
Yeah,
but basically the same contract.
Yeah,
and then the exact same contract, they finally told them, "Hey, we're not going to get any better for you, so you might as well accept this." They passed it by 17 votes.
Yeah,
that was
classic UAW softening up the workforce.
Oh, yeah.
I got a couple of them guys on my page, and they're still swearing up and down. They don't think they lost that Revo, but they agree with exactly what you said. But like you, the old man told me once, so Scott, you should remember this. When you're running an election, you got to make sure the guy reading the ballot's reading the right words that are on the ballot. You know, I mean, there's so many ways to steal an election, and they know them all because they're their elections. That's what I was saying. Who's the monitor? Who's getting paid? Who's got the pork chop? Who's got the cigar? It all matters when you're from the UAW, remember. And it might mean, I mean, you're talking villas here, too.
And are we having CPAs?
We better have observers then. That's all I got to say. We better do our part.
Are we allowed challengers? And when I asked that question, Scott, I was told as a retiree, I can't even portray in it other than vote. You know, I would like to go sit there all day and just watch the election happen. You know, I like getting underneath their skin. I mean, with my fat ass sitting at the fucking door sometimes, you see how irate these people get. What are you doing?
Are you talking about the monitor told you can't observe?
No, I asked at my hall. But, I mean, in past practices of just being a challenger, I mean, I'm not even a candidate.
I gave you the monitor's website. His email address is on there. Shoot him an email. Say, hey, I'd like to be an observer when the ballots are sent out and when they're tallied.
Hell yeah.
I would like to make a correction to what I had said about it's 397,000 members. But that was the news reporter that was not a direct quote from Neil Barofsky.
Okay.
And I posted it under the Solidarity Zone 1.
Yeah, that could be the number of addresses that they have. You know, they probably don't have some addresses from locals that have 200 people or 50 people or those locals probably don't have haven't updated in the Lewis system, and that's what they're going off of is the local union information system, Lewis.
From the news media?
No.
That's what they're going off of?
The monitor and the
Yeah, because the news media is the one that they say the United Auto Workers Union, 397,000 members will vote by mail this fall on whether they want to pick their leaders in direct elections. There's more than 397,000 members. And that's not including retirees.
I don't know where he's pulling that number off of, because I know the LM2 has more than that. It has a little north of 400,000, I believe.
Yeah, almost to 500,000.
Where are these ballots going to be mailed?
To your house.
No, what I mean, once you do a ballot, where do they go once you fill out your ballot? Do you mail it somewhere?
Yeah,
do you take it to your local union? Huh?
No. There's going to be an address on there, a return address on there to mail them to. The monitor and the Office of Labor Management Standards from the Department of Labor is going to be, there
it
to
is?
Receive those ballots
okay.
and make sure that the vendor gets them to count them.
Okay.
It better not be Solidarity House. I tell you that.
Yeah.
Better
House
not
relax.
Be Solidarity House.
Yep. Tell Couch to relax. If he needs a stamp, I'll bring him over one.
So is it going to be conducted by a CPA or what?
Right.
They say an election vendor on the monitor's website and in the rules, but they haven't told us who that election vendor is. And we're about to send an email out to them to ask them, hey, who is this? Also in there it says it could be multiple vendors. So they might have one vendor to do the postcards, another vendor to do the mailings for the ballots and another one to count the ballots once they come in. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly the details of that, but we need to ask who those vendors are and make sure that they're not somebody that the UAW has relied on, counting ballots before.
Yes, well, you're right, man. Think about that, what he just said, Paul. That's like that one chairman's wife that was running that election committee, and we didn't know it all them years. Hell, it was this old lady was running the election committee in our plants.
It was Carnahan's wife, for a while.
Yeah.
The one thing is, I really don't have any problem with the UAW going out there campaigning to try to keep their current corrupt system. As long as we have equal time and equal access, because they can't win on the issue. It's a system that's produced 15 jailbirds and, a string of bad contracts and membership loss. I mean, are we going to have access to the membership?
That's not what they're asking for. They're asking for exclusive ability to use our union dues.
Yeah.
We asked the monitor, let's have a level playing field here.
Yeah.
Let's put out a special issue of Solidarity Magazine
to
be mailed to every member with, about the referendum, with both sides of the issue in there.
Right.
That's
exactly
not what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. As long as we have equal access, I don't care if they campaign for their corrupt system. I mean, the results speak for themselves.
So
I don't have a problem with that, Paul.
What?
But damn it, they shouldn't be able to use our union dues to do that campaigning.
Well, let us use our union dues to campaign, too.
They ain't going to allow that shit.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well,
agreed.
I know that, Jim. Really, I'm being facetious. I'm just saying I believe in debating the issues. And the UAW has not allowed that, just like with my election. You know, how can you defeat incumbents if you don't have any chance to attack their record or lay out yours?
Or, like you say, be part of an amalgamated local of 9 plants where you can only get to one gate and it's a local. How is that fair? They get to walk in through every plant. But you can't even stand at the gate. You're arrested and told to get off the property. You're a terrorist. I thought, oh, my God, they get fired again?
Yeah.
So right now it's open to register to be able to advocate for one side or the other. UAWD has registered with the monitor to be able to advocate and that's open to groups and individuals.
What do you mean
so,
to advocate?
Well, to advocate means if you want to send out an email to all the members, they have a vendor that's going to be doing that.
Oh.
We intend to send an email out to, it depends on how much they're going to charge us to do it. But, the UAW has a lot of email addresses. They have mine. They send me UAW wire updates asking me to, advocate for this thing or that thing. Anyway, those email addresses are going to be available to people that want to advocate for or against one member, one vote. And also there's going to be a forum, a webcast, where people can register to be part of that webcast. So you can do it as an individual or as a group according to the rules that they put out on the website that I gave you, UAWmonitor.com. But you have to go on there. You have to email the monitor to tell them that you want to register as an advocate for one member, one vote or against one member, one vote.
Wow, that's really good information. Wow, that is good information. Thank you, Scott, for coming on. That's some good information.
We've got to stay on top of this stuff. And our steering committee has been dedicated to you know, staying on top of this and trying to make sure that it's a fair process. And we're confident that if it is a fair process, that the membership is going to decide they want the right to vote. But if it's not a fair process, then all bets are off. So, you know, we've been making sure that, you know, our voices have been heard with the monitor. And, you know, we've been advocating for a fair process. And, you know, you have every bit, every right to contact the monitor that any of us do. So, you know, I'd suggest that you do.
I will.
All right.
I'm gonna.
We have 4 minutes left in tonight's show, everybody. 4 minutes.
Oh, good night, rabble rousers.
Are you leaving,
Paul?
Yep. Good night.
Yep. Later.
Well, that was fun. Thanks for welcoming me onto the show tonight, guys and gals.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott, I just posted the website address under the Solidarity Zone 1.
Oh, excellent. Thanks, Adrian.
So I'm going to, yeah, and I'll post it under all my, you know, pages.
Yep. Right. I just posted that under the workers, for the unions also.
Mm-hmm.
So,
see?
We get this
Thank
out.
Thank you,
and
for coming on because that was good information. All that was really good information.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
It's no secret. I'm just helping to spread the word.
I appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
Scott. Don't be a stranger.
Okay. All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks,
good.
Scott.
All right.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Got some good information, and people,
mm-hmm.
maybe listen to this show from Arlington to Kentucky to Wentzville, Flint, Detroit area. One member, one vote. We've got to vote so that we can get our control back of our union. That's just my opinion, but we can't keep going the way we're going right now.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So, but with that being said, you know, here we got 2 weeks and we'll be on the show again. I don't know what we'll be talking about then, but it's hard telling the way things are going. You know what I mean?
That's so true.
But I wish Mr. Curry wouldn't have come out and said some of the things he said in the last 2-3 weeks. That's just very disappointing to think that this is how they think of us. And you should all remember that when it comes time to one member, one vote.
Well, he was appointed too. He didn't win a damn election. I couldn't believe some of the stuff. I mean, it's terrible. They don't want to hold nobody accountable because they're all coming up to the trough to feed off our money, people. It's time to stop it.
Great.
Well, all right. Well, that being said, I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks. Everybody stay safe. Oh, wait a minute. Is 2 weeks going to run us into Labor Day? I just thought of that.
God, I'm glad you did. I don't know. Adrian, somebody bail us out here. You know us, guys.
I'm looking now. It'll be the day after.
Yeah.
I mean, the day after is Labor Day.
Yeah, so 3 weeks then, I guess, for a show.
3 weeks.
What do you guys say? It's up to you.
Three weeks.
You want to do 3 weeks and go to? I don't care.
That'll be the 12th.
You guys figure it out.
Three weeks will be the 12th.
Yeah, because historically we don't have a lot of people plug into the show on Memorial or
Labor Day.
On those weekends, they just don't plug in.
Either go 3 weeks or one next week, because,
we know it's fruitless to do it on the holiday.
So we'll go for the 12th then of September for the next show.
Right.
Unless
okay.
something Fair. Happens, then we need to do it, and we'll do it, okay?
To the middle of the week,
yeah.
right.
All right.
Sound like a plan.
You got
my- All right. Everybody
mm-hmm.
have a good week. Be
yes.
safe. Be careful.
Stay hydrated.
Yes, you
yes,
only have one
sweetheart.
More week. One more week of summer, so enjoy it. Get your thongs on.
Oh, geez.
Everybody
and I
bring
my
policy
on.
Ooh,
so
oh, yes.
And I'm up for my right sock.
If you guys are not, you beautiful ladies can send me pictures. I didn't say that.
I gotta go. Talk to you. Thank you. Love y'all.
Love you. Good night.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.